So today is the 6th of September, as well as the 6th of Elul, Tafshin Ayin Tes, 2019. And we are up to Halacha Day of Perek Lamed Beis in Bamidbar. However, this is a quasi Halacha Day, also quasi trying to understand Psukim and Chumash. So as we go through this Parsha, so we are the B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven say, we want to stay on the other side of the Jordan. So we've raised the question in the first two Shirim, saying, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're expanding the border of Eretz Yisrael? Does it mean they're not? That means that they're getting ready to live in Chutz La'aretz? Does it mean they're going to potentially apply for a statehood or annexation one day? Like, what exactly is going to be the status of their land? What exactly is their request? Furthermore, it could be doubled by comments that we made yesterday with regards to when they went, the issue of them going back and forth with Moshe, about what exactly did they do before and what did they do after. So the Ramban comments that they, before, they didn't actually annex the land. They set up cities beforehand. They took some of the cities and fortified them and made sure that they were comfortable for the children to stay. And then they went back, then they went to war, and then they would come back, and only upon their return, that's when they would be awarded the entire area. That's when they were told, oh, then you'll annex the entire place as being as being your territory, whether part of Eretz Yisrael or not. That's still vague, but that was what the Ramban suggested. That's why he said, besides Moshe telling them, oh yeah, you could go and settle the land, Moshe then had to turn around and tell Elazar and Yehoshua, oh, and after they finish conquering the land, after they do the what they said they were going to do in terms of staying around for the conquering, and then they also said the division as well, so then you're going to give them the territory. Well, if Moshe already gave them permission, why are they giving them the territory? So the Ramban made that split. He said, well, they got the cities now, plus their kids had to have someplace to go, and their flocks had to have someplace to graze, but in terms of the entire territory, that wasn't going to happen until later. Now, it came across a article, I think, that put this together nicely by Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, where he points out that in two chapters later, we actually are told the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And there's been much ink spilled and trees felled trying to figure out exactly what those borders were, what cities they're referring to. But there are two sides of the border of Eretz Yisrael. It's pretty clear where the border is, at least according to that parak. What?
The Jordan.
From the river to the sea, right? From the river to the sea, Israel will be free. So the east side and the west side are clear. The west side is the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean, and the right side is the Jordan River. So that seems to be saying, well, okay, that's the border, so then Reuven and Gad are outside of that border, that they're not really part of the land. But could you extend the land? Now we do have an idea that of a Melchemes Mitzvah, which is conquering the land of Israel and beating out the seven nations. And then there's also a king has the ability, with the permission of Sanhedrin, to then expand those borders as well. So is that what's going on here? We're going expanding those borders?
There's no king in Sanhedrin yet.
What?
There's no king in Sanhedrin yet.
Okay, but there is the Zakenim, and there's perhaps Moshe's representative of the Sanhedrin. I'm not sure that's going to be Ma'ak. You figure out some way to have an equivalent to the Sanhedrin. So that's a question that is out there. Are they in the borders, or are they outside the borders? So with this, Rabbi Liebtag says, well, the truth is, this is the difference. This distinction had already been made all the way back in Bereishis, that Avram is told several times about how he is going to go to the land of Canaan, and that's going to be his land. Now, what is Avram told is going to be his land? What territory?
It's
very big. Yes. Yes, that he has... Right, that's where this thing about the Euphrates comes up, right? Well, the Euphrates, that's pretty far out. Right, so there's really two episodes where Avram is told explicitly. He's told several times, hey, even the first pasuk in Lech Lecha, you're going to go to the land's going to be yours, etc. But there's two places where he's told pretty explicitly as to where he's going to go. So one of them is the Bris Ben HaBesarim. The first one is the Bris Ben HaBesarim, where he is told in Bereishis Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yudches, That's 15:18 in Bereishis, 68 in the Art Scroll Chumash. It says, "Bayomahu, on that day, Karas Hashem es Avram Brisli, Mor Lazarchana Sati es Haaretz Azos, Minar Mitzrayim Adanar Gadol Nahar Pras." You're going to be given this city, this land, from the river in Egypt until the river, until the Euphrates River. Es Hakeniv, Es Hakeniv, Es Hakanoniv, Es Hakeniv, Es Hakeniv, Es Hakeniv, and all the other nations that are mentioned there as well. Right, so that is the first presentation to Avram. The Bris Ben HaBesarim is that you're going to be given this mass, the whole Middle East, it sounds like, is going to be what's given to Avram. However, that's what the words say. Yeah. So the other phrase, however, appears a little bit later. In Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, 17:7. That's the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the very end of Parshas Lech Lecha, after the bris was given. And he says, "V'akimosius b'risibinu v'nechu b'in zarecha acharecha d'rosam b'risolam l'yos lech lecha l'okim l'zarecha acharecha v'nesati lecha l'zarecha acharecha es eretz migurecha is kol eretz kenan l'achuza solam v'yisi l'em l'okim." I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. Now, what's included in the land of Canaan? What does he mean by the land of Canaan? So that's 8, chapter 17, verse 8, 7 and 8.
Page 73.
Page 73, yeah, that's right. So what's going on there? That seems to have been a change. And in fact, we are told earlier, he points out, earlier in the end of Parshas Noach, we are told what he said here, you're going to be given the land of Canaan. Now, what is the land of Canaan? So in chapter 10, verse 19, Yud Tes, it says, "Vayihi gvul haknani mitzidon, bo'acha gerora ad Aza, bo'acha sedoma, v'amorav adama utzvoyim ad Lasha." So we're given these places. We're not sure exactly where these places are, but it doesn't sound like it's too far, right? You're going to Gaza and Sodom and Amora, right? That area, what we kind of know as being the, you know, talking about Gaza and the what we refer to today as being the West Bank, but those areas, right? That's all being part of the, that seems to be what the land of Canaan is. So during the Bris Ben HaBesarim, Avram is told you're going to be given this massive amount of land. And then when he has a Bris Mila a little bit later on, so Avram says, yeah, you're going to be given the land of Canaan. Right? What's the land of Canaan? The land of Canaan is what generally what we identify today as being the land of Israel. Right? So which one is it? What land is Avram expected to get? So Rabbi Liebtag suggests, he says that those were two different promises. The bris of the promise of the Bris Ben HaBesarim, when he walked between those things, the cut up animals, the Bris Ben HaBesarim, the pact of the parts, as opposed to the Bris Mila, there are two different things going on there. The Bris Ben HaBesarim was a universal type of thing, that you Avram are going to be the one to bring my message into the entire world, and therefore he is perhaps telling him where is the entire world. The entire world means the entire world, and therefore your kingdom as a messenger, your kingdom, the place that your message is going to end up, that message is then going to be spread throughout the entire world. Now, what's the entire world? The entire world at that time, there were really two main civilizations, and the land of Canaan was in the two of them, right? The Euphrates River and the Nile River. He points out, neither one of those places have ever been a border for any country ever, right? The country is built around the Euphrates River, not until the Euphrates River.
I think the border of Babel was the Euphrates River.
If one understands these psukim literally, so then you would say, yeah, the border goes up to the river, but the civilization of Bavel was built around the Euphrates River, the Fertile Crescent, right? That's the way I learned in history class.
Between the Tigris and the Euphrates.
Right. But it's surrounding those rivers. The same thing as the Nile River. The Nile River is not a border of the land of Egypt. The Nile River is the middle of the land of Egypt. Everybody builds around the Nile River. So perhaps it's just representative of being a message that Avram, you have been appointed to be a person who's going to bring the message of my existence and what I stand for. I mean, not me personally, but God, right? Not and not Shevet God, God, right, what God represents, that's your job to bring into the entire world. As opposed to the message that was taught with regards to the Bris Milah was a unique individual message. That was, or not individual as a single person, but a national message. And the national message is, where is B'nai Yisrael going to reside? Where are they going to live? They're going to live in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan, which is in the middle of these places, is going to be the source that's then going to be able to be used to then spread this message to the rest of the world. He suggests that that's actually the difference between terms are used of Yerusha and Achuza. So Yerusha is a is
heritage and evidence.
Right. So he's so apparently that's Yerusha. Yerusha that's used. This I didn't recognize before. He suggests it's a terminology of conquest. As opposed to achuza is something that's a personal connection. Okay, so he puts that in here someplace, right? That in Chumash the word Yerusha implies conquest, not to be confused with the popular usage of Yerusha, which is referring to inheritance. Mm. We got to learn all of Chumash again now and see how that fits in. What? He says the biblical terminology of Yerusha is a term of conquest as opposed to it's the same spelling.
The same word, like in the modern Hebrew, it's, for us it's more like inheritance, but actually in the Book of Devarim, there is some pasuk about when God.
There we go.
Which I think it was like 1 or 2 weeks ago when he said Yerusha and you have to conquer from the.
Meshekoach, good to have you here, Yitzchak. Yes. Welcome Yitzchak to his first day of First Seder. And good hour. That's true. He was only here as a visitor before. Now he's here. Okay. So all right. So that is his suggestion. So then you can then go and follow how this carries out lehalacha. That in order that there has to be that even though the land of the sort of the kingdom of Hashem, so to speak, will cover everywhere. The nation of Israel will be assumed within the land of Canaan.
Oh, there is also I heard that, there is, like you said, there is two promises. One is like Israel today, and some people believe the greater Israel in the future of time.
And then God will fulfill the first promise of the Brit Abetayim.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is different time.
Yeah. Well, right. So he's sort of rejecting the idea of a physical greater Israel. That's right. The idea that Israel will one day go from the Nile to the Euphrates as a physical entity of one country. So you say that's not necessarily what it's saying. It's saying it potentially could go up to that. That's his suggestion. So, right. We. Damascus does not necessarily have to be part of Israel for it to be for us to recognize the dream. So with that idea, so then you can go to the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos and understand a little bit more what in the world he's talking about there. So he says that Trumos v'Maisos ain't noeg in mina Torah el be'eretz Yisrael. That Trumos v'Maisos are only noeg in the land of Israel. Right? Bein b'fnei abayis, bein shalom b'fnei abayis, v'dim hitkinu sheyihu noegim af ba'aretz shinar, v'nei sheyismuch al eretz Yisrael. Then the Chachamim expanded it to perhaps be in other places close to Eretz Yisrael, but only, but that would only be derabanan. Right? So anything that is bordering on the land of Israel, even if there is water in between. So some have suggested that if you have a farm in, like, I don't know, Vineland, New Jersey, that might be chayav and shumus and maizos based on that. No, you've heard that? No, just kidding, it's not. Okay. Well, there's only one body of water between Vineland and Israel.
No, there is this shela about in Mishnah, I think, about the land. They're asking of the Truma for the Kohanim if the land is outside Israel, but in Syria, there is a territory.
Right, there are several halachos of mitzvah tulius ba'aretz that suggest to expand to the lands right around the lands of Israel. That's one of the Yashan Heterim. That's one of the reasons or Chadash Heterim. That one of the suggestions is that Chadash is noeg in Chutz La'aretz, but perhaps only to lands immediately surrounding the land of Israel. That's so. You know, there's not that much wheat that's grown in Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and.
But they were, so this part of Syria was included in Eretz Israel at this time, or no?
Oh, hold on a second. Fine. So Eretz Yisrael, when we talk about the land of Israel, so it's only a place of a land that's conquered by the king of Israel, or a judge, or a Navi, with most of Midas Rov Yisrael, with the bracha, I don't know, the allowance, the knowledge of most of the Jews. V'zehu ha'nikra kivush rabin. That's what we call conquering of many. Aval yachin me Yisrael o mishpacha o shevet shahochu v'chavshu la'asam makom. So if there is a group of Jews that just go and conquer some land, afilu mina aretz, even from the shenista la'avram, even if it's the land that was given to Avram, eino nikra eretz Yisrael k'dei shinagu bo kol ha'mitzvos. It's not going to be eretz Yisrael such that the mitzvos hatelius ba'aretz are going to be noeg then. Only if it is assigned as a greater Israel type of thing, not just individuals. Now, if it's in the land of Israel, what's the problem? Why would they not? The answer is, B'nai Yisrael was never fully conquered. Right, the land of Israel was never fully conquered to the point that the other nations were totally kicked out, as the Rambam is going to point out in a moment. Yeah?
But in the context of the parasha, I thought the tribe of Gad and Reuven, they decide, it's like a group of Jews, right? Two tribes, not everybody, they still ask the Zikna Aretz. They ask the permission of Moshe.
Correct. So possibly, but there's another problem. Hold on. There's another problem, though. One second. Sorry, I skipped the line. That's why I don't understand. That's why you needed Yehoshua and his Beis Din to divide up Eretz Yisrael to all the Shvatim. And even though it wasn't captured yet, why? Because they didn't just want it to be Kivush Yachid. Whenever the Shvatim would go, and whatever land they would conquer, it needed to be assigned by Yehoshua. And towards the end of the book of Yehoshua, he divides it up and like tells everybody, okay, go and conquer, you know, clean out your land. So it needed to come from Yehoshua. It wouldn't be enough for it to just be done by the Shvatim themselves.
So it answers the question, because God...
Hold on! Next to Lach. Now, he doesn't talk explicitly about God and Reuven. I'm a little disappointed about that. I would write him a letter, but, you know, send him an email. But I think the website is down. But Ha'artzu Shekavash David Chutz La'aretz. The lands that David conquered outside of the land of Canaan, Kigon Adam Naharayim Va'aron Sovav Achlav V'chiyotzi Behem. Right? So David got a big kingdom, and he conquered more land as well. So what about that land? That sounds like it fits all the qualifications. Right, it sounds like it's fitting the qualifications of, you know, you have a king, he has the Berishah of the Sanhedrin, they're going and conquering land to expand the borders. So Afal Pisha Melech Yisrael, who he was the king, Vafal based in Agadol Hayosa, and even though he was the king and based and did it, Einon Ke'eretz Yisrael L'chol Davar, V'lo K'chutz La'aretz L'chol Davar. It's not totally considered part of Eretz Yisrael, not really considered total K'chutz La'aretz. Davar K'gon Bavel U'mitzrayim. And it's not like Bava Mitzrayim either. So rather, it's not Chutz La'aretz, but it's not like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, why not? So then he continues. So why was it not considered part like Eretz Yisrael? If they should kavash osam kodam sheyichbosh kol Eretz Yisrael elenishar ba mishiva amim. Because yes, it's true they conquered it. They conquered those further lands before they conquered all of the land of Canaan. Rather, they had left seven nations. There were people. They never actually fully eradicated the Shiva Amamim. If that's the case, they never actually held all of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to turn quickly someplace and find where they did. It sounds like what the Rambam. I couldn't figure out what his source was for this. I wanted to know where he's getting. I don't think he's getting this from a Gemara. They said they never fully conquered the land.
Yeah, they never.
And if they never fully conquered the land, they don't have the ability to add land on.
Where does it get this from?
Good question.
Because we never conquered the land. We never conquered even in the time of King David.
That's right.
The Azza.
Right.
Never
there you go.
Until now. That's why the name is Azza. It's strong.
There you go. I mean, Yishlam Kedusha Kesher Eretz Yisrael. Rashi Mihalchashim Nichpach Kol Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Yeah, Ve'ilu Tafas Kol Eretz Kanan Likvula said. But if they would capture all the land of Canaan to its borders, Techila, Va'achar Kach Kavash Arzos Acheres, and afterwards they would cover other lands, Hayakivsho Kulu Ka Eretz Yisrael Lechol David, be considered totally Eretz Yisrael, Arzos Shekavash David, Hena Nikrim Syria. The land that David has conquered is we refer to today as Syria. Assyria.
Where does it go to the source of this halacha?
You have to conquer first everything before adding. Where does it go from? No source. You could do a little bit more, at least I'm looking. Look, the Rambam doesn't tell you any of the sources. So I see the Kesef Mishnah and the Radbaz, neither of them quote a source explicitly for this. He suggests that maybe it's there's Yerushalmi that goes. I wasn't able to look it up. I'm not really sure what he's referring to.
This is the Rambam,
the very beginning of Hilchos Trumos. So then we go back and we understand that Ramban becomes very interesting, right? They say to Moshe, we're going to go. So Moshe says, great. So we'll give you cities for your places to go. And then when you come back, after you finish conquering the land of Israel, so then you're going to come back, and then you'll be essentially, perhaps, expanding the country of Israel. Right, and maybe that's even what Moshe is instructing Yoshua and Elazar. He's telling Yoshua and Elazar, you're going to instruct them to then conquer this land, thereby adding on to the border, adding on to the territory of the land of Israel. Was that land ever become the land of Israel? The answer is no. Why not? Because they never were fully successful in conquering the entire land and sending out the seven other nations. So that this last part about the halacha, he alludes to the Rambam, but doesn't that last part is my own addition. But perhaps that's what's going on here. So the plan in this parak is, sure, you're going to go and it will be part of Greater Israel, but it never worked out that way. So now thinking about it, these tribes show up again in Yehoshua, right? There's a discussion there as well in the book of Yehoshua. It'd be interesting to see the psukim there as to what Yehoshua exactly tells them at the end. I didn't think to look it up. But in that discussion that he has with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben when dividing up the land, it'll be interesting to see what the language is that he uses. Are they going to conquer the land of Canaan, or are they just going back to this place that is going to now be considered technically outside the land of Israel? Not sure what to think about. Let's do research further. All right, let's stop here. Have a good day, a good Shabbos, and I guess we'll pick up next week.